Christianity is that which must be practiced in our everyday life, and we're bringing a series of broadcasts to you that we've entitled Practical Preaching. You know, I've learned a long time ago that when we attempt to offer the gospel, we must offer the teaching just as the Bible has to offer in a manner that can be understood by people from all walks of life. We have very little difficulty in trying to talk over anyone's head if we want to do that, because we're aware of the fact that when we look into the Word of God and try to follow that teaching, we are offering a teaching that certainly can be received by those who are advanced in years, those who have outstanding knowledge, as well as those who may be learning, as new ones, we might say, associated with learning, young in years, and those who may not have had the advantages in life of education. After all, you look back into the early days of our country, and you'll find that some of the people who became the greatest outstanding patriots were people who actually received their knowledge basically from what the Word of God taught. On the broadcast so far, we have dealt with a number of outstanding subjects relative to the gospel, pointing out how it was necessary to hear the Word of God that we might understand how we could believe it and how we could carry it out. We talked last time to you regarding the subject of repentance, and how that Jesus taught in Luke 13:3, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Today on the broadcast, we want to notice for a short while the necessity of the confession of faith. You recall that Jesus in the 10th chapter of Matthew made a very wonderful and outstanding statement when he said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." After reading Matthew 10:32, go right on to the 33rd verse that gives us the other side of the picture. "Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now, I cite both of these passages from the notable 10th chapter of Matthew because we're aware of the fact that confession is not alone that which is made with the mouth, but it is that which certainly is associated with a conviction from the heart. This would indicate to us that the idea of confession of faith, that we believe that Christ is the Son of God that is made before we are baptized into Christ, is that which goes on into everyday Christian living. So I want to say in our practical preaching point on the broadcast today, we'd like to have you keep in mind that when one announces with his mouth what he believes in his or her heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, they're not alone stating what they believe, but also they're announcing what they intend to be and what they intend to do. The 33rd verse, I believe, would show that there is this dimension to the idea of the confession of faith. Ask yourself the question, how would it be possible for one to deny Jesus Christ? Would it only be possible by someone standing up before an audience or even in a private conversation and saying, "I renounce Jesus as the Son of God"? We don't hear many people doing that, do we? In fact, I've said to congregations all over the country that I never did hear of a person who actually obeyed the gospel sincerely and then later in their life turned around and said that was a mistake. That was the worst thing I ever did in my life. That was the wrong decision. The point I'm trying to emphasize is that one could deny Jesus Christ, certainly not alone by what he would say, but also by what he would do. So if an individual can announce that Christ is the Son of God with his mouth, it also implies what he's going to do in his life. We've often used the illustration that when someone comes to a community, whether it be a metropolis or whether it be a rural area or a small town, it's often announced that this person is a dentist. This implies not alone that the person is going to do dental work, he's actually going to announce himself as a dentist, but it also implies very definitely what we expect out of this person as he follows his profession. The same would be true of other areas of life, and it is certainly true in living the Christian life. When Jesus made that statement, he was offering a prelude to a very outstanding teaching that comes later in the 16th chapter of Matthew. Perhaps you have read the wonderful 16th verse of that momentous 16th chapter, where Peter simply spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This was an answer to a well-known question to Bible readers when Jesus turned to his immediate disciple following and said, in a very definite fashion, whom do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up, and I'm not going to say that other apostles couldn't have said the same thing. But as Matthew records it, the apostle Peter spoke up and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This has a definite connection with heaven, because after he made this statement, Jesus simply said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed us unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So if it would be revealed, and it was revealed by God from heaven to the Apostle Peter, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, what an outstanding fact this truly is. So may I say, as we talk to you today, if you have announced that you believe that Christ is the Son of God, then you announced a fundamental fact of the entire Bible. If you truly did announce that with a sincere desire in your heart, we are sure that you followed it, not alone with baptism into Christ, but that you followed it in daily Christian living. To the Christians at Rome, the Apostle Paul made a very wonderful statement, and I'd like to read it to you on the broadcast today from the 10th chapter of Romans in verses 9 and 10. It reads this way, That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I am certain that there is more implied than a statement here that I believe that Christ is the Son of God. First of all, there is a conviction behind this, and we are led to believe in connection with this conviction, there is an announcement with the mouth, what I intend to be, what I believe, and what I intend to do. So may we say to you, as you research this in your own mind, that it's a very vital thing to confess our faith in Christ. Some throughout the years have questioned if a confession of faith with the mouth is actually necessary in obeying the gospel of Christ. We believe that the Scripture teaches in Romans the 6th chapter that there is a form of doctrine to be followed. And I am sure that the safe course and the scriptural course on this matter is to do the very things that people did in the first century as we have recorded in the Bible to become children of God. We've often told you on past broadcasts that when you look at the whole span of what individuals did to become Christians, you will find that there are five outstanding points that are associated with what we term primary obedience. There must be a hearing the word, a believing it, a repenting of our sins, a confessing with our mouth that we believe Christ is the Son of God, and that to be followed with baptism into Christ Jesus. When Jesus Christ was preached to the man in the 8th chapter of Acts from Ethiopia, and I'm sure you remember that story, how that Philip the evangelist was told to go and join himself to the chariot where the man was returning from Jerusalem and worship back to Ethiopia where he was an official in the government, that you recall in a very definite fashion that he preached unto him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And after he heard the gospel preached, he said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Oftentimes in a Bible drill for young people, or even for a congregation, or in personal conversation, we ask the question, Is there anything that hinders an individual from being baptized into Christ after hearing the gospel? The only point that could be made on that would be what is found here in the 8th chapter of Acts, that if you believe with all your heart, you may. Now, Philip, in talking to the man from Ethiopia, did not tell him in that statement, as we read it, what to believe. But he'd heard Jesus Christ preached, and so he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Following that, he was baptized into Christ. The point I'm trying to make is that before immersion into Christ Jesus, we have an actual Bible account of where one did confess with his mouth that he believed Christ was the Son of God. I would like to think as I talk to you on this broadcast today that after this man from Ethiopia was immersed into Christ as he was in Acts the 8th chapter, and he went on his way rejoicing, that he believed from the depths of his heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And this had a great deal to do with propelling him to live the Christian life daily. I want to say to you on the broadcast today, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Now, when one is obeying the gospel by that form of doctrine of which we mentioned earlier on the broadcast today, You see, the fact that one hears the word does not always imply to those who are preaching it or teaching it what kind of a response will be made in the heart or the life of that person. We can't really see that the person is believing until there is some open manifestation of that belief. Neither can we know if that person is repenting, for repentance is something that begins on the inside and is eventually reflected in the conduct and the attitude of the one who has repented. But you see, following that repentance, when one announces publicly that he or she believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that is really the first visible and audible expression that we have that would indicate to us that the person has believed the word that he has heard, that undoubtedly he or she has turned from their sins in repentance, and now want to announce what they believe in their heart, that they might follow that with an action that is scriptural and right of being immersed into Christ Jesus. So the first outward appearance, we might say, that one really believes that Christ is the Son of God may truly be found in the wonderful confession of faith. And then you recall that as we look down through the canyon of years, we find those who were told to be faithful unto death. To whom would they be faithful? I am sure to Jesus Christ. Why to Jesus Christ? Because they believe that he died upon the cross for their sins. They believe that he was buried, that he arose again, that he made it possible with sins forgiven for man to enter into a fellowship that would make it possible for him to live for Jesus here, that he might live with him there. So the confession of faith is a vital thing. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ that bring you this broadcast ask you sincerely from the bottom of our heart to the bottom of your heart, do you believe that Christ is the Son of God? If you do, do not hesitate. This very day, finish that obedience to the gospel by your immersion into Christ Jesus. Be with us on the next broadcast as we deal once again with practical preaching.